I want to tell you today why I have a problem with, quote, politics. Also, a lot of stuff swirling in the Jewish world. I want to talk to you about that. And it's a sad day in American history as well.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, it is one of those days I've got so much bursting inside of me I want to talk to you about today. So many issues of importance, things I want to interact with you about. When I feel like this, you know, sometimes I'm writing. In fact, I'm in the midst of a divine writing assignment. I mean, God stirred me to get a book written quickly, and I'll be telling you more about that in the days and weeks to come. But when I get flooded like that, I will be writing 3, 4, 5 chapters at the same time. I'm just overflowing. And that's how I feel today with the radio broadcast. So, yeah, put your seatbelt on and join me here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you for being part of the broadcast today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Okay, where to start? A lot of things to talk about. Some fascinating developments surrounding a new book by my friend Rabbi Shmuley Boteach and other rabbis weighing in. And somehow I'm in the thick and middle of this. I want to tell you about that. I want to give some reflections over things that happened over the weekend with the political scene. And then also just to tell you why I have a problem with, quote, politics, not good political leaders, not godly people wanting to make a difference for our society through politics, but politics in general, why I have a strong Christian issue with that. I want to talk to you about that, a crazy article about Newt Gingrich, a whole bunch of other things. It's not going to be a boring second in the next couple of hours, but let me start here. There is a philosophy among many, many conservatives and believers who have a passionate difference with our president's policies on abortion, on homosexual activism, on other major issues, some having to do with Israel, others having to do with the economy and our national direction. Absolutely do not want to see him reelected in terms of their plan. Now, God knows what we deserve, or God knows what is best, but I absolutely do not want to see Mr. Obama reelected. Now, there are people who have the mentality that they are voting for, quote, ABO, anyone but Obama. And let me just say again, if any of you, as I'm speaking, hear this having to do with anything to do with race, please look in the mirror, because that's where the perception is coming from. It's not coming from me. It's got nothing to do with me. All right. When I raise issues with Mitt Romney, it's not because he's Mormon. And certainly not because he's white or he's male or, okay, obviously. But there is a philosophy that says anyone but Obama. And that is not my own heartfelt position, because I believe we can just put a Band-Aid on bigger problems. Okay, so we get a Republican in, and then white evangelicals feel better about that, and some black evangelicals feel better about that, and then some other voters feel better about that. But then we don't pray, we don't cry out, we don't recognize that the problem is not primarily in the White House, the problem is primarily among us, that we need to awaken, that we need to all look in the mirror, that we need to go to God, that we need to be crying out. But having said that, please hear me. Roe v. Wade, one of the most tragic decisions in American history, probably the most tragic, that has cost tens of millions of lives. Tens of millions of lives. Oh, in particular, it's been a genocide in the African American community, which breaks my heart when I see the satanic attack there on lives. Whoever gets elected next is going to have a major role in Supreme Court appointees, and those affect our nation massively. And that's why some people say anyone but Obama. But I've got a good report. We come back. I want to encourage you to stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, I have a special guest from actually down the hallway. We share a building. Actually, we rent space from this gentleman and this brother who head up a real estate company, supernaturally blessed by God, making a difference all around America as they hold out to godly principles in business and use business to advance the kingdom of God. And they have done something on an extraordinary level having to do with pro-life. I'm going to introduce my guest in a moment, but I want to startle you and I want to encourage you at the same time. President Obama is aggressively campaigning on the basis of Roe v. Wade and telling women that this is a good decision. He says the 39th anniversary of Roe v. Wade is the chance to recognize, quote, the fundamental constitutional right, nonsense, my words, to abortion, and to, quote, continue our efforts to ensure that our daughters have the same rights, freedoms, and abortions as our sons to fulfill their dreams. They need abortion, killing unborn in the womb, to fulfill their dreams. Okay, this is from our president. That's why I'm so passionately against his policies, where I pray for him and recognize his authority as our president. Then someone just sent me a fundraising letter from their campaign manager, Stephanie Cutter, and this is what she says. Our opponents have been waging a war on women's health, attempting to defund Planned Parenthood, overturn Roe v. Wade, and everything in between. The president has stood firm against these attacks on women's health. Yes, he has been the most pro-abortion president in American history. But the reason we have legalized abortion, legalized killing of babies in the womb, is not the president's fault or the Congress's fault. It's because of the inactivity of the church. David Benham, in the midst of a crazy busy schedule, has stepped out to join me. He and his brother Jason lead Benham Realty here in Greater Charlotte and around the country. And David is the founder of the Benham Foundation, which has a specific pro-life outreach. So, David, first tell us about that outreach, and then what happened in Charlotte Friday night?
Sure. We started Cities for Life. And one of the reasons we wanted to call it Cities for Life was because we believe that abortion is murder, and it ushers in a culture of death into our cities. Obviously, it's all over our nation. And so what we want to do is we want to reach out, first of all, by proclaiming the life of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we want to provide and protect unborn babies. We want to provide real solutions to mothers that truly feel that they have no other choice but to abort their babies. And what we find are most women going into an abortion clinic truly want another choice. They don't feel they have any choice. And so sometimes we say, we are pro-choice. We're giving you a real choice, a choice for life. And then what we do is we go out there and we pray as well. So we proclaim, we provide and protect, and we pray. And then what we have is called a life network. Through Cities for Life, we proclaim the life of Jesus Christ, but then what happens is these mothers need real life, tangible solutions and help. And so what we've done is we've coordinated through the Cities of Life, Cities for Life movement, adoption agencies, crisis care centers, medical facilities that will take the babies all the way through for free. We follow up with baby showers. We plug them in with churches. We can take from conception through about 2 years of age and help financially with the mother. We help with the babies. And so we're actually providing them a real choice. Now, an interesting statistic, and you'll find this on the Guttmacher or the Guttmacher, however you want to pronounce that institute's website. Since 1992, abortion has gone down 40% in America. Since 1992, there are 40% less doctors performing abortion than there were in 1992. And we're also finding that here in Charlotte, since we started counting as we started Cities for Life and connecting with a lot of the front lines ministries that were bringing babies to our life network, we've had nearly 1,300 children that were saved and countless salvations.
All right. So how do you, before we talk about what happened Friday night, and this is awesome. This is Jesus stuff. This is compassion. And this also undercuts the lie of the critics. Well, all you talk about is the baby in the womb. What are you doing after? Well, you're doing after. But when you come up with this number, How many did you say babies saved?
Since we started counting, 1,300, right, which is about 24 months worth.
Oh, okay, which is extraordinary.
That's actually 36 months worth.
How do you get that count? Is this just a number that you guys came up with? Where did it come from?
Well, no, we have people on the front lines at the abortion clinics consistently. Now, we have three abortion clinics in Charlotte. I wish we had someone there every single day, but unfortunately, we don't. When we go to an abortion clinic, through Cities for Life, we do three things. We, number one, expose the truth of what abortion really is. And number two, we proclaim the life of Jesus Christ. And number three, we plug them into our life network, which actually is a considerably large network of help. And so we do those three things. We're not there to protest. We're not there to demonstrate. We're not there to scream and holler. We're not doing any of those things that the media would like to quickly categorize us as doing. We are simply providing these choices.
So Friday night, you had the annual Cities for Life banquet. How many have you had now?
This is our second annual. Last year was our first.
All right, so you're just getting started. But like probably 30, 40 people show up for an event like this?
No, we had well over 800. And our guest speaker was Alex Kendrick, who starred with the movie Courageous. And Alex came in. When I told Alex about Cities for Life, he actually said, I'm coming to Charlotte. I'm coming free. Now, he gets 30 speaking requests. He's the number one highly sought after Christian speaker right now. 30 requests a week.
A week. Okay.
He takes two a month.
Okay.
And he saw Cities for Life and said, I'm coming, and I'm not charging a dime, and I want to be there. I want to be on the streets. I want to go to the clinic. He went to the abortion clinic with us on Saturday morning and was completely wrecked. It's the first time he's ever been to a
really?
Clinic. And I told him, I said, Alex, we have a divide in the body of Christ where we feel that we can just help the Life Network, which is the crisis care centers and such, but we do not like going to the front lines. And I said, if we do not bridge that gap, then we are not going to end abortion. And Alex called me this morning, and he said, I'm going in to speak to the leadership at my church, which is a very large church.
Praise
they actually
God.
Produce the movies. And he said, and I'm going to let them know about Cities for Life, because I have never realized that we could end abortion. And through something like this, I believe that we can actually end abortion.
All right. This is awesome, encouraging. You had a vision. You felt got to do something about it. And no disrespect, but in terms of your background to do this, or your connections to do this, it's not like you knew everybody.
No.
And I mean, you were a former baseball player.
Yeah.
Your dad's been a frontline street preacher and reaching out for life. You got a real estate company.
Yes.
So you're a businessman.
Exactly.
But you said, I've got to do something. And God has supernaturally connected you.
I just stepped out like the young boy with the five loaves and the fish. I mean, I just said, well, God, whatever I have, here it is. And he's starting to really get some momentum behind it.
All right. Which is massively encouraging. And seriously, man, we're privileged to be part of this and to be in this together on the front lines here. What can folks do in other parts of the country? Can they connect with Cities for Life? Is there...
Absolutely. One of my goals, when the Lord gave me this vision about 18 months ago, I said, this needs to be replicated in every city across America. And so what we've done is through the Cities for Life website, it's www.cities4life.org. When they go to our website, they can start seeing some of the Life Network that we've put together and some of the things that we've done. The website currently is about 70% complete. We've got an entire protocol package that we're developing, a flow chart, an org chart, and all of those things where a point person in a particular city can go in and say, okay, I'm going to develop the Life Network. I'm going to coordinate where the abortion clinics are, get front lines teams to be able to start delivering these babies and these families to the Life Network.
And while we are looking for legal resolution for the sake of righteousness, as well as to save life, this alone, with God's blessing, if done in major cities all over America, could shut down legalized abortion and save thousands of lives and give them hope for the future.
Oh, absolutely. And it's an incredible evangelism tool. It's all rooted in evangelism as well. So we knock out so many birds with one stone.
All right, listen, I asked you, you're in a crazy schedule. I pulled you away and said 2-3 minutes. But since we got a minute and a half before the break, preach to our audience, man. Share your heart. Tell them that they can make it. Whatever you want to tell them, you got a minute and a half.
Absolutely. Okay. This year, today is Monday, okay, of the year 2012. We are now officially in our 40th year since Roe v. Wade. Goliath came out for 40 straight days and taunted the armies of Israel, and the armies of Israel continued to hide in a cave. And now, just like David, when he heard those taunts, he looked at Goliath and ran at him and took him down. I believe this year is our year.
Yes,
and
sir.
We have the tools, we have the stones, we have the weapons. We've been faithful with the lion and bear stories. We are charging at this Goliath called abortion. And when we take Goliath down, I promise you, all of the church will start coming out of the caves. The homosexual agenda is next. Radical, the intolerance toward radical Islam is next. We are going to start taking these giants down. We're not afraid anymore.
And to take them down means with the life of Jesus.
Proclaiming the life of Jesus. That's number one.
Light instead of darkness. Life instead of death. Transformation instead of bondage.
Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, rulers, and authorities of darkness. We love these people, and so we are not going to allow the demonic forces and the agendas behind them to destroy life.
All right, give us the website one more time.
Cities4life.org, the number four.
All right, friends, I'm talking to folks in major cities all over America right now, New York City, D.C., Boston. You know where you're listening. Your city, your region can be changed. It'll be changed through the gospel.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. I hope that report encouraged you as much as it encouraged me. I was telling David, we're both ready to pound on the table and just, you know, you can hear that. You hear the kind of, that's it. That's it. It doesn't just pound, it rings. It rings. It's, I guess it's not like the Rush Limbaugh table. We'll actually have to get an expensive table in here. This kind of rings. But I see why. Because we've got the mic stands are screwed into the table. And that's probably why it rings. So maybe one day we'll demonstrate the different sounds we can produce here in the studio. I'm sure you'll just love that. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Hey, question, seriously. Do you think the tide is turning in terms of abortion and pro-life? Do you think it is turning? I mean, we heard what David said. I hardly agree. What's your perspective on the ground where you are? Do you think it's turning? Do you think it's turning? And, of course, you get cities. I mentioned D.C. and New York. Boy, the abortion rates are so high and so many lives getting cut down before they even have a chance. And this program that David Benham was talking to me about, Cities for Life, is one that is not just saying don't abort, but saying here's an alternative, here's another way to work with them. I get pictures that the local ministries here send us that are working together of the baby showers, and here's the couple with the baby, they got the baby shower, and they're helping them establish life together as a family. But do you feel that the tide is turning, and could it be that this is the first of many giants in our society to come down? I want to say this again, for those who are not familiar with language like this, for followers of Jesus, taking down a giant is ideological. I'm sure you use that in other ways in your own life as well. Okay, you know, it could be that for years you've had a serious eating issues and you're terribly overweight, and it's like that giant's got to fall, that giant of obesity or that mentality that I can't do it or can't change. We're talking about ideological and spiritual giants that are affecting our society. What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Now, I'm going to weigh in on a bunch of things, and you are free to interact with me on any of them, and then we'll see which calls we get to. But having said that, having said why I understand why some people, just for the sake of Supreme Court justices, say anyone but Obama in terms of who we vote for. And I say that with respect to our president, with whom I passionately differ before he was elected, all the more now that he's been elected, as I have passionately differed with other presidents, both Republican and Democrat, whether white or black or Catholic or Protestant. But I not only don't put my primary trust in the political system, but I've got a problem with, quote, politics. Look at what's happening in the Republican primaries. The level of viciousness, the level of I've got to take out my opponent. Now, some are doing it more viciously than others, to be sure, okay? But if you just look at the attacks between Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich, maybe Rick Santorum's are less shrill and acute. How could you imagine this happening in any context that wasn't politics? Can you imagine me, say, on the radio, and I'm having a difference with other Christian leaders or another Christian radio show, and I'm going after people like this, and I'm accusing it? I mean, the thing is, people believe in what they're doing, and they believe they're the best candidate, and they can help America. But at what cost? At what price? I mean, how can it be justifiable to attack each other in these ways and to do whatever you can to dig up dirt and throw it back on somebody? I mean, how can that possibly be ethical? How could that possibly be righteous? How could that possibly be Christian? How could that possibly be for the best? Now, here's the deal. I understand that in the current political climate, and it's been like this for some time, it probably just gets more extreme because of instant media and instant news outlets continually and so on. But in the current climate, you can't get ahead without doing this. Do you know how ugly it's going to get from here to November? Do you know the amount of political blood that's going to be spilled? The amount of name call. Do you know, for those of you that support President Obama, do you know the level that he is going to be demonized in these next months? And do you know the level of demonizing that he is going to do against his political opponent, whoever is the candidate against him? And do you know how much money is going to be spent on this that could be food on people's tables in their homes, or could be money towards somebody's education? Or could help a ministry on the front lines feeding the poor in the inner city, or could go to 1,001 other constructive things. That's part of what bothers me. Yeah, the money part it strikes me. I mean, this one's going to have $1 billion, and we got to raise this to equal. Oh, come on, to have hate commercials on TV blasting each other. But the fact is, without that, you're not going to win. Barring divine intervention. Newt Gingrich said he was going to stay positive, 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 and then Mitt Romney came out with real attacking ads. I mean, really powerful ads that hurt him in Iowa. And then he turns around with his ads against Romney, and now they're slicing each other up. And Rick Santorum involved as well, although, like I said, his attacks may be less shrill, but still, whatever they can do to undermine each other, even though, think of it, Newt Gingrich is a professing committed Catholic, as is Rick Santorum, correct? I don't believe Rick is Protestant, but either way, they both claim to hold for Christian principles. And then, although, okay, I'm just being sure. I mean, 99.99999% sure, but thanks for confirming that, Joey. Okay, so Rick Santorum clearly bases himself on Christian principles as he speaks and as he explains his values. And Newt Gingrich clearly holds to, or professes to hold to, certain Christian principles, obviously the marriage issues and all these other things, but he would say he fell and repented and so on. Okay, fine. But he would say that. And then Mitt Romney, okay, he's a Mormon, he's not a true Christian, but as a Mormon, he would claim to hold to Christian principles, and the moral values and ethics of Mormons would be similar in many ways to Christian, correct? In their minds, it's Christian. And yet they're blasting each other in the most unchristian ways, and then President Obama claims to be Christian too, right? So that's one of the problems I have with politics. Okay, friends, I wrote an article. It just came up on Town Hall, Gay Rights Still Trumping Freedom of Speech, Religion. Gay rights still trumping freedom of speech, religion. Oh, it's an eye-opener. You need to read it. But if you don't yet have a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, if you have it and want to get into someone else's hands, here's a great way to do it. You can get a signed copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, plus, with it free, my two-hour DVD debate with Rabbi Shmuley about homosexuality, which is massively important and eye-opening. The book with postage is $30. The debate's another $15. You get them postage paid together, and they'll sign the book for just $30. So call today to order. Great opportunity to get critical materials in your hands. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. I want to say it again. I believe it. I mean it. With God's help and grace, together, we are making a difference. And you, friend, you can make a difference wherever you live.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, a couple other interesting things, and I want to go to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. This report... CNSnews.com, Gingrich beats media in South Carolina 54-14. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich has defeated the national media in South Carolina by a margin of 54% to 14%, according to a survey conducted by a Democratic polling firm. Interesting. It showed that 54% of those voters said they had a favorable opinion of Gingrich. 37% said they had an unfavorable opinion of him. Now, this is after he was just blasted by his ex-wife on national television in ways that you think would undermine anybody's confidence in him. Yet he then, there's so much sentiment against the secular media and so much of a sense that it's clearly biased in going after certain candidates or positions or parties. But Gingrich in his debate then, although from what I saw, a whole lot more people were interested in American Idol than in the debate. But anyway, he blasts the media at the opening of the debate. That helped turn things, helped get him the win, it seems, in South Carolina dramatically. Polls said only 14% said they had a favorable opinion of the media, while 77% said they had an unfavorable opinion of the media. Very, very interesting. 866-34-TRUTH. To the phones, Anthony in Marshall, Virginia. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
I have a question. Is this considered murder and abortion? In my family, we had a situation where a cousin of ours gave birth to a child and it came out wrong and they had to abort the baby and kill it to save her life. Would that be considered murder?
Because if she's no. I do as... the best I can to be careful and precise when I speak about abortion because it's so grievous and I speak about killing babies in the womb, someone might get a wrong impression. So, no, it's universally understood that the goal, Anthony, is always to preserve life. In other words, when you have a baby in the womb, you have a potential life. And when you have someone that's out of the womb, you have a fully realized life. Either way, they are life. They are lives, right?
Yeah.
So... It's a known medical ethic. It's taught in Christian ethics. It's taught in Jewish ethics. And every pro-life person I know, because they're pro-life, says the only time that an abortion is legitimate, it's when it's to save the life of the mother.
Okay.
So
the situation was my uncle's Orthodox priest. He went to D.C. General, and he saw, this is just the way it was, a lot of disformed children, incest, in a way you can never imagine. What do you do with them? I mean, what do you do for like an 11-year-old girl who got raped by her father? She has an incest child. What do you tell her to do?
So let me ask you this, Anthony. Would you, and these are heartbreaking situations, but and I may even have to keep talking about this on the other side of the break to do it justice, but since that child is a product of incest and they could have genetic defects and other problems like that, would you be okay once they were born and after a few months you saw their situation, would you be okay killing them then?
And afterwards, it's already here, so you might as well take care of them then.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's already a life in the womb. In other words, where does one draw the line? Mentally retarded child, child with Down syndrome, child with a genetic defect, a child missing an eye, child missing limbs.
They were done, like, deformed, just like she...
Right. Like, but that's where we start playing God, and it is with absolutely tragic consequences. When we decide that this life... because it doesn't meet our standards, is not worthy of surviving. There are actually people, without knowing what kind of child would be born to an 11-year-old rape victim, would say, we will take that child. We will take that child because the only way that child came into the world is still that God had to give it life. God had to allow for that to happen and give that child life. God did not decide to take it in the womb. So it's a major question, Anthony, but we don't fiddle with it. We don't make a decision that this one's not worth. What if people think the same about people of different color or different ethnicity? Hey, they don't deserve to be here. Quality of life won't be good.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Weigh in online, askdrbrown.org. And please go to townhall.com. Read my important new article, Gay Rights Still Trumping Freedom of Speech, Religion. Please read it. You'll find it eye-opening, sobering, and it'll challenge you to stand and do what is right. Okay. Before I go back to the phones, I just want to continue the comments I was making to Anthony before the break. I cannot imagine living with a situation where a little girl is raped, but she's somehow old enough to give birth. She's 11, 12 years old, and okay, just take the baby and end it. End it. Just end it. It's rape. It's, let's say it's incest. Let's say the unimaginable, the girl's own father. It's, I can't imagine this situation, and it seems in many ways that the compassionate thing is to say just have an abortion. I mean, it's otherwise the girl's going to have to carry the baby and then go through this whole thing, and then what? Okay, I understand it. I'm not minimizing the trauma, but life is life. The only time it is legitimate to take a life is to save a life. Look, sometimes you have Siamese twins that aren't going to make it, and you have to separate them, and you know that one is going to die to keep the other one alive. That is the only time when you have an ethical right to do it. Otherwise, why not kill the baby once they're out of the womb, as doctors in Holland have done? Yeah. They've made it plain that they've euthanized thousands of babies and old people without family permission. Just decided that, okay, this kid's got spina bifida, doesn't have a reason to live. It's going to have $100,000 of surgery before it's 2 months old, and then it's going to die at 6 months or whatever the case may be. So just put the child out of their misery. Oh, yeah? Okay, well, how about just someone that's in a lot of pain? Or how about someone that's going to be in a wheelchair? How about someone's condition not quite as bad? Or how about talking to the people who survived spina bifida and now they're older? Or how about the families that went through the tragedy and hardship and said, this little child was an angel in my life? The bottom line is it's not up for us to decide who has enough quality of life potential to be allowed into the world. Here, let me ask you a question. How do you feel about the fact that in different parts of the world today, like India and China, you're now having a disproportionate number of boys compared to girls? Why? Because parents prefer boys. It's more important for them to have a son. It's for the family name. It's to provide for them in their old age and various other social reasons. So they find out if it's a boy or a girl. They abort it if it's a girl, and they keep it if it's a boy. And then in China, we've got the one person per couple policy, which, of course, is going to have dreadful consequences for the coming generation. It's not going to be able to support its elderly and so on. The fact is that women have actually had girls and killed them. Killed them. Why? Because it's not a boy. You say, well, that's a difference. Well, it's not a difference to them. What if someone decides that your race or my race doesn't have a right to live, is vermin, is subhuman? What if Nazi mentality is coming again? Well, they're really, really old. I mean, they're just suffering and they're just draining the economy. And why? I mean, why let them live? Why let them live? What's, you know, they're not happy and they're just draining everybody else. You say, well, that's extreme. It's not extreme. It's happened before in history. It's happening in different parts of the world right now. Here, let me ask you a question. All right? You know that I oppose homosexual activism at the same time. I would do whatever I could to help a gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender individual to have a better life and to be safe from attack and harm. So I care about individuals, but I stand against the agenda. Of course, they'd say it's one and the same. In many cases, I beg to differ. But let me ask you this question. What if this is all speculation. This is pure speculation. What if someone could prove that children are born homosexual? They're born with same-sex attraction. And that a test could be done to discover that tendency, that genetic tendency in the womb. This is all speculation, and all science I know says the opposite. But let's just say you could do it. And the parent says, well, okay, I'd rather have a heterosexual kid. I'd rather have a kid that's going to get married, produce their own kids, and it's just tough life for a homosexual. I'd rather have a heterosexual, so we'll abort the kid. How'd you feel about that? You're a gay rights activist, but you're also pro-abortion. How'd you feel about that? I mean, right now, people are trying to do, you know, selection based on designer babies. No, it's not the kind of, we wanted this color hair, we wanted this, these color eyes, we wanted male, we wanted, you know, we don't really like the match, to whatever extent they could know these things in advance, so we'll get rid of the baby. That's insanity, friends. That's nothing less than insanity. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, to the phone, Sam in Rockville, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, my comment was that I don't really think the tide is turning. I know a lot of people where I go to church, and I'm a born-again Christian, and I consider a lot of these people to be born again, but they don't really see the danger or the harm in voting for somebody that is extremely pro-abortion. And I had this problem even before Barack Obama. I had this problem when we were discussing this with Bill Clinton, so it has nothing to do with the man's color.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm a person who loves everyone. But I also had this comment I would like to make to my Christian brothers and sisters. I've done a lot of reading of the Bible. And Isaiah said, and not just Isaiah, in the book of Kings, that one of the reasons that God was unwilling to forgive Israel was because of the sins of Manasseh.
Shedding innocent blood.
And when you look at what those sins were, he was sacrificing his children in the fires to Moloch.
Yeah, Jeremiah 18, 19, reiterate that. Other passages, Jeremiah 7 as well. And in fact, yes, shedding innocent blood in general, and in particular, sacrificing children. And Sam, I want to agree and I want to disagree. Not about your last point. The shedding of innocent blood and children's blood is of massive importance in God's eyes. It's amazing that he tolerates the human race, our race. That's the real race. That's the race issue. It's our race. We keep sinning, the human race. But it's amazing mercy that God tolerates. He knows billions of sins going on all the time of all kinds, and he has not wiped us out. That's the mercy of God for sure. But Sam, I agree with you that many within the church on all sides of the Democrat-Republican issue and on all sides of the race issue and so on still don't get it with abortion, or even if they have lip service against it, it doesn't affect their lives, the decisions they make, the way they live. The other thing, Sam, I differ, though, in terms of the tide, because the young generation, as much as they're like pro-gay agenda and all this, they are much more pro-life than they were 20 years ago. No question about that. And the abortion rates do keep dropping, although we still have over 1 million babies a year or thereabouts killed every year in the womb. And it's less and less popular to be an abortion doctor or for a major hospital to be complicit with abortion. So I believe the tide is turning, although without question, we need awakening starting in the church. And I'll say again, abortion is not because of the president, although he's complicit in standing where he stands. Abortion exists in America because of the failures of the Church of Jesus. That's where the blame must be laid. David in Yonkers, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. Before I give my comment, to make a statement concerning the gentleman with the family problem and abortion, that was a poor analogy you gave. There's a much bigger difference between a baby that's born and walking around and you kill it and one that's inside the womb at 5, 6, 7 weeks.
All right, David, hang on for a second. We waste time if you don't let me respond to you, okay? I'd like to talk to you, but we can't both talk at the same time. You challenge my analogy. I just want to ask you a question, David. It's the same suffering. One, you don't know exactly what that kid's going to get 5, 6, 7 weeks. You know how many times I've been with parents and they said, man, the doctors think we got a problem with this baby in the womb, or there's a high, high chance of Down syndrome, this or that. And parents said, no, we're having the baby, and the baby's totally healthy. Or parents have a baby that the doctor says is going to have major health problems, and the kid does, and it's the greatest blessing that ever happened in the parents' lives. So I just want to ask you this question, David. If this child is terribly deformed and the fruit of incest, and they're not walking around, okay, and they're just in a hospital bed somewhere, why not take them out of their misery if they're 1 week old? And they're going to die in 3 months anyway. Why not take them out of their misery?
I'm not going to answer that.
All right. Thanks. Thanks. David, you're very welcome to call. But if you're going to challenge something, then you need to have a response. Okay? That's the problem. That's the problem. Everybody recognizes that we don't have the right to do that. Tell you what, David, get online and look at some ultrasound pictures, okay? And look at the marvel of what's happening in the womb, even in the early stages.
It's fire we want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. Look, I understand that I fully understand that a baby in the womb, say a two-month-old baby, is different than a baby walking around or crawling on the floor. We all understand that. The fact is, it is a human life either way. And if you're going to use the compassionate argument that that child is going to have a terrible life and so on, okay, so then put it to death. If that's your position, and God forbid anyone thinks I'm advocating this, I'm just showing the absurdity of the position. If that child is born terribly deformed, it's some horrific thing. Some of you listening have lived through this, and you're only here by the grace of God to you've gotten through it. Terribly deformed, terribly brain damaged. No possible way the child could live past 3 months, barring a miracle. Do you give that child medical care? Do you just let it starve to death? Well, if it's a human life inside the womb, do you know that it's something like 80% of women, something like 80% of women who see an ultrasound before having an abortion choose not to abort? Does that tell you something that when you show the mother, because still a mother, hey, that's your kid. That's your kid. When they see that and they see this human being, they say, no, I don't want to have the abortion. And then, thank God, there are ministries that are ready to work with them and help them. And if they want to keep the baby, help them to do so. And if they want to give it up for adoption, help them to do so. Because we care about life, L-I-F-E, life. 866-34-TRUTH, Denver in Spring Valley, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, good day, Dr. Brown.
Good day.
Yeah, when you talk about abortion, I think there's one thing that we overlook, and I think that is accepted in a society, and I think that churches does not address it, but it's sex out of marriage.
And oh, yes,
this is
of course.
What leads
of course.
Up to, I would say, majority of people who take abortion is because they have sex out of marriage, and now they're having a baby, so they have to get rid of it. So one sin leads to the other, and it's not taught in our society or from church especially, because I don't believe that the world should understand this, but that there should be no sex out of marriage.
Yeah, and, you know, Denver, it is addressed, of course, to some degree in church and youth making purity vows and,
in our society,
and things like that.
But
the fact is, though, Denver, things are so available to young people today. The media celebrates. What are they have TV shows, reality shows with teenage, 16-year-old? I don't know what it is. 16-year-old mom's going to be pregnant and have a kid, and they're celebrating it on TV. Celebrating kids losing their virginity, and then schools like New York and other parts of the country where they got condoms available on a table and lubricants for kids to just take. Absolutely right, Denver. And then just the idea that, you know, sex is recreational and you totally separate it from being procreational. It's just only recreational. And on and on and on. A thousand different ways we are no longer having a culture of life in our society. And we need to come alongside of our young people and help. And then, of course, there are those marriages decide, oh, pregnant, didn't want to be, or it's not convenient, not the right time, not the right career decision, can't afford it. They have an abortion. But, of course, sir, you are absolutely right. 866-34-TRUTH. Allison in Astoria, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. I agree with you that abortion taking a life is not right. Okay, but under certain circumstances, it's not that the person did the right thing, but the choice is available. And when you're talking about Jesus, Jesus is literally speaking. Jesus was here 2,000 years ago. He's not here to protect us now. In Queens, sir, there were a lot of rapes, and I'm a female myself too. I mean, in the Queens area and in the New York area, it was even on TV. Women were just being viciously attacked by men and raped. That young girl coming home from work late at night, trying to go to college, trying to work, and being raped by these.
All right, Allison, let me ask you a question. You bring up a terrible, tragic reality. The reality of rape. And we know that whatever the rape statistics show, we know that many women rape never report it out of shame, or that somehow they become the victim. I cannot imagine the trauma of a rape victim and then being told, quote, you have to carry the child and so on. I cannot imagine. I'm not a woman. I'm not speaking lightly of this. But I want to say a couple of things. We don't minimize that. But that is 1% or less, I think way under 1% actually, but I'll be conservative and say 1% or less of all abortions have to do with rape or incest. So why does that take up sometimes 99% of our conversation? That's not the issue. That's really not the issue. You say, well, then why don't we just agree on that? Because fundamentally, it's still a human life. One of my dearest friends in the world, Evangelist Steve Hill, with whom I stood side by side for 4 years in the Brownsville Revival, as he continues to fight for life and complete healing after a brutal attack of cancer. His wife, Jerry, amazing woman of God, a soul winner, woman of prayer, great support to her husband, preacher in her own right. She's the product of a rape. You know how many fine people there are in society today who are making an incredible impact, who are products of rape? The fact is, it's still a human life. And ultimately, God has to produce a life or allow for life to be produced. So I don't minimize what you're saying, Allison. I don't minimize it. But what if the baby in the womb was going to be a John the Baptist? What if the baby, and it's still a life in the womb, and that's how Scripture looks at it. And that's why the church needs to stand around every situation and say, let's be redemptive. 866-34-TRUTH. So sorry, Allison. Didn't mean to cut you off there. We are out of time. If you're on hold, I know we touched on some volatile issues here. In fact, I didn't even plan on making this the volatile issue of the day. I had a bunch of other questions I wanted to get to, but this is important. I'll take your calls on the other side of the break so you can stay with us. It is so urgent, friends, that we know what is happening in society. It is so urgent that we understand what's happening with gay activism and how it affects your freedoms of speech and your religious freedoms. I've just written about that on Town Hall, Gay Rights Still Trump Religious and Speech Freedoms. But if you don't yet have A Queer Thing Happen to America, today's the perfect day to get it. For just $30 postage paid, you get the book, almost 700-page, beautiful, hardcover. Change your life when you read any one chapter of it. Plus my very intense, passionate, eye-opening debate with Rabbi Shmuley about homosexuality in America, and is it our greatest moral crisis? Together, for just $30 with postage, it would normally be close to a $50 value. So order 1-800-278-9978, and we'll sign it to whoever you ask me to sign it to. How's that? 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, friends, we must stand for life. Jesus said of himself, he is the life. Our God is a God of life. Let us be people of life and hope from the womb to the grave, looking forward to final resurrection. I want to tell you today why I have a problem with, quote, politics. Also, a lot of stuff swirling in the Jewish world. I want to talk to you about that. And it's a sad day in American history as well.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, I hope you can hear me all right today here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, my joy to be with you. A whole lot going on. And so let me know if you can hear me all right. Joey, Andrew, Beth, Ann, we just had a loss of signal here a moment ago. My delight to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A whole lot is going on. A whole lot is going on in our society. A whole lot is going on in the Jewish world that I happen to be in the middle of. I had a bunch of updates I was going to give in the last hour, but we got swirling in some controversy regarding abortion. I didn't get to share all the updates. So they're coming your way. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Okay, let's start here. Let's start here. Today is the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, which has cost the lives of millions and millions and millions, tens of millions of young people, tens of millions of adults would have been here with us, and they're not. They're not here. Why? Why are they not here? Because they've been taken by abortion. And as much as I absolutely deplore Mr. Obama's stance on abortion, as much as I completely oppose his policies on abortion, as I have with some other presidents before him, the reason that we have this in our country, prevalent as it is, with tens of millions of us professing faith in Jesus, with really a couple hundred million plus professing faith in Jesus, and with tens and tens and tens of millions of those claiming to be born-again evangelical Christians, we have this problem in our society because of our lack, our silence, our indifference, our failure to stand for life, our failure to bring a culture of life, our failure to live out our faith effectively in the public square and in private. Now, we come back. I've got a very encouraging interview with you, for you, with David Benham, a colleague of mine right here. We're in their office building, and he's going to share some encouraging things with you. But I also want to, you know what, can I get to it now? Looking at the clock. Okay, no. Some wild things have happened in society I want to talk to you about and ask you some questions. And then in the last hour, we got into a very serious discussion about abortion, about rape. And I want to point out that rape and incest constitute less than 1% of all abortions. And yet, we constantly raise that question. Even Christians constantly raise it, which is not the question. Let's just say we put that aside for a moment, although it's not a negotiable issue to me. Let's just say we put that aside for a moment. What are we doing about the other 99%+? Does it even concern us? And this is in connection with euthanasia. All right. Open up the hornet's nest, but we'll go somewhere constructive. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, I have a special guest from actually down the hallway. We share a building. Actually, we rent space from this gentleman and this brother who head up a real estate company, supernaturally blessed by God, making a difference all around America as they hold out to godly principles in business and use business to advance the kingdom of God. And they have done something on an extraordinary level having to do with pro-life. I'm going to introduce my guest in a moment, but I want to startle you and I want to encourage you at the same time. President Obama is aggressively campaigning on the basis of Roe v. Wade and telling women that this is a good decision. He says the 39th anniversary of Roe v. Wade is the chance to recognize, quote, the fundamental constitutional right, nonsense, my words, to abortion, and to, quote, continue our efforts to ensure that our daughters have the same rights, freedoms, and abortions as our sons to fulfill their dreams. They need abortion, killing unborn in the womb, to fulfill their dreams. Okay, this is from our president. That's why I'm so passionately against his policies, why I pray for him and recognize his authority as our president. Then someone just sent me a fundraising letter from their campaign manager, Stephanie Cutter, and this is what she says. Our opponents have been waging a war on women's health, attempting to defund Planned Parenthood, overturn Roe v. Wade, and everything in between. The president has stood firm against these attacks on women's health. Yes, he has been the most pro-abortion president in American history. But the reason we have legalized abortion, legalized killing of babies in the womb, is not the president's fault or the Congress's fault. It's because of the inactivity of the church. David Benham, in the midst of a crazy busy schedule, has stepped out to join me. He and his brother Jason lead Benham Realty here in Greater Charlotte and around the country. And David is the founder of the Benham Foundation, which has a specific pro-life outreach. So, David, first tell us about that outreach, and then what happened in Charlotte Friday night?
Sure. We started Cities for Life, and one of the reasons we wanted to call it Cities for Life was because we believe that abortion is murder, and it ushers in a culture of death into our cities. Obviously, it's all over our nation. And so what we want to do is we want to reach out, first of all, by proclaiming the life of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we want to provide and protect unborn babies. We want to provide real solutions to mothers that truly feel that they have no other choice but to abort their babies. And what we find are most women going into an abortion clinic truly want another choice. They don't feel they have any choice. And so sometimes we say, we are pro-choice. We're giving you a real choice, a choice for life. And then what we do is we go out there and we pray as well. So we proclaim, we provide and protect, and we pray. And then what we have is called a life network. Through Cities for Life, we proclaim the life of Jesus Christ, but then what happens is these mothers need real life, tangible solutions and help. And so what we've done is we've coordinated through the Cities of Life, Cities for Life movement, adoption agencies, crisis care centers, medical facilities that will take the babies all the way through for free. We follow up with baby showers. We plug them in with churches. We can take from conception through about 2 years of age and help financially with the mother. We help with the babies. And so we're actually providing them a real choice. Now, an interesting statistic, and you'll find this on the Guttmacher or the Guttmacher, however you want to pronounce that institute's website. Since 1992, abortion has gone down 40% in America. Since 1992, there are 40% less doctors performing abortion than there were in 1992. And we're also finding that here in Charlotte, since we started counting as we started Cities for Life and connecting with a lot of the frontlines ministries that were bringing babies to our life network, we've had nearly 1,300 children that were saved and countless salvations.
All right, so how do you, before we talk about what happened Friday night, and this is awesome, this is Jesus stuff, this is compassion, and this also undercuts the lie of the critics, well, all you talk about is the baby in the womb, what are you doing after? Well, you're doing after. But when you come up with this number, how many did you say babies saved?
Since we started counting, 1,300, which is about 24 months worth.
Oh, okay, which is extraordinary.
That's actually 36 months worth.
How do you get that count? Is this just a number that you guys came up with? Where did it come from?
Well, no, we have people on the front lines at the abortion clinics consistently. Now, we have three abortion clinics in Charlotte. I wish we had someone there every single day, but unfortunately we don't. When we go to an abortion clinic, through Cities for Life, we do three things. We, number one, expose the truth of what abortion really is. And number two, we proclaim the life of Jesus Christ. And number three, we plug them into our life network, which actually is a considerably large network of help. And so we do those three things. We're not there to protest. We're not there to demonstrate. We're not there to scream and holler. We're not doing any of those things that the media would like to quickly categorize us as doing. We are simply providing these choices.
So Friday night, you had the annual Cities for Life banquet. How many have you had now?
This is our second annual. Last year was our first.
All right, so you're just getting started, but like probably 30, 40 people show up for an event like this?
No, we had well over 800, and our guest speaker was Alex Kendrick, who starred with the movie Courageous. And Alex came in. When I told Alex about Cities for Life, he actually said, "I'm coming to Charlotte. I'm coming free." Now, he gets 30 speaking requests. He's the number one highly sought after Christian speaker right now.
30 requests
a week.
A week. Okay.
He takes two a month.
Okay.
And he saw Cities for Life and said, "I'm coming, and I'm not charging a dime, and I want to be there. I want to be on the streets. I want to go to the clinic." He went to the abortion clinic with us on Saturday morning and was completely wrecked. It's the first time he's ever been to a clinic. And I told him, I said, "Alex, we have a divide in the body of Christ where we feel that we can just help the Life Network, which is the crisis care centers and such, but we do not like going to the front lines." And I said, if we do not bridge that gap, then we are not going to end abortion. And Alex called me this morning, and he said, "I'm going in to speak to the leadership at my church," which is a very large church. They actually produce the movies. And he said, "And I'm going to let them know about Cities for Life, because I have never realized that we could end abortion. And through something like this, I believe that we can actually end abortion."
All right. This is awesome, encouraging. You had a vision. You felt got to do something about it. And no disrespect, but in terms of your background to do this, or your connections to do this, it's not like you knew everybody.
No.
And I mean, you were a former baseball player.
Yeah,
your dad's been a frontline street preacher and reaching out for life. You got a real estate company.
Yes,
so you're a businessman.
Exactly.
But you said, "I've got to do something," and God has supernaturally connected you.
I just stepped out like the young boy with the five loaves and the fish. I mean, I just said, "Well, God, whatever I have, here it is," and He's starting to really get some momentum behind it.
All right, which is massively encouraging. And seriously, man, we're privileged to be part of this and to be in this together on the front lines here. What can folks do in other parts of the country? Can they connect with Cities for Life? Is there...
Absolutely. One of my goals, when the Lord gave me this vision about 18 months ago, I said, this needs to be replicated in every city across America. And so what we've done is through the Cities for Life website, it's www.cities4life.org. When they go to our website, they can start seeing some of the Life Network that we've put together and some of the things that we've done. The website currently is about 70% complete. We've got an entire protocol package that we're developing, a flow chart, an org chart, and all of those things where a point person in a particular city can go in and say, "Okay, I'm going to develop the Life Network. I'm going to coordinate where the abortion clinics are, get front lines teams to be able to start delivering these babies and these families to the Life Network."
And while we are looking for legal resolution for the sake of righteousness, as well as to save life, this alone, with God's blessing, if done in major cities all over America, could shut down legalized abortion and save thousands of lives and give them hope for the future.
Oh, absolutely. And it's an incredible evangelism tool. It's all rooted in evangelism as well. So we knock out so many birds with one stone.
All right, listen, I asked you, you're in a crazy schedule. I pulled you away and said 2-3 minutes. But since we got a minute and a half before the break, preach to our audience, man. Share your heart. Tell them that they can make it. Whatever you want to tell them, you got a minute and a half.
Absolutely. Okay. This year, today is Monday, okay, of the year 2012. We are now officially in our 40th year since Roe v. Wade. Goliath came out for 40 straight days and taunted the armies of Israel, and the armies of Israel continued to hide in a cave. And now, just like David, when he heard those taunts, he looked at Goliath and ran at him and took him down. I believe this year is our year. Yes, and sir. We have the tools, we have the stones, we have the weapons. We've been faithful with the lion and bear stories. We are charging at this Goliath called abortion. And when we take Goliath down, I promise you, all of the church will start coming out of the caves. The homosexual agenda is next. Radical, the intolerance toward radical Islam is next. We are going to start taking these giants down. We're not afraid anymore.
And to take them down means with the life of Jesus.
Proclaiming the life of Jesus. Life that's number one.
Light instead of darkness, life instead of death, transformation instead of bondage.
Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, rulers, and authorities of darkness. We love these people, and so we are not going to allow the demonic forces and the agendas behind them to destroy life.
All right, give us the website one more time.
Citiesforlife.org, the number four.
All right, friends, I'm talking to folks in major cities all over America right now, New York City, D.C., Boston. You know where you're listening. Your city, your region can be changed. It'll be changed through the gospel.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So for all those listening to me on our numerous stations in North Carolina and blanketing Charlotte, many of you were at that Cities for Life dinner on Friday night. I wasn't. I was invited. David Benham personally encouraged me to come. I absolutely wanted to be there. Was looking forward to it, emailed right a few days before and said, hey, still room for me? They said, well, there's a waiting list, but we can get you in. And the Lord stirred my heart to write a key book on a key issue in a short period of time. Last Thursday, I have been writing virtually day and night, if not hanging out with family, otherwise just pretty much writing day and night. And I was sitting here writing Friday night and realized, it's Friday night, Cities for Life dinner, so I apologize to David, but they didn't miss me, obviously, with 800-plus. So those in the greater Charlotte area, hey, we are making a difference, and thank God for those leading the way so that others can just, we can throw ourselves in as they lead the way. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. In the first hour, there were a couple of controversial discussions we got into over the subject of abortion. One caller asked about a case where a relative had to have an abortion. She was going to die because of childbirth. And I said, well, it's universally ethically understood that, I mean, one life is going to be taken to save the other. You know, and if it's in the process of childbirth, then the decision is normally made that you save the mother, even if the baby's life has to be taken. Again, it's a situation where you have no alternative, where there's definitely going to be death ensuing, and you have the one life that's here versus a potential life. Anyway, then the caller asked me, well, what about the hospital? You've got these terribly deformed children. They're the product of incest. It could be a father, God forbid, rapes his young daughter, and she's young enough, though, still to conceive and have a child. And what about those? And I said, well, is it okay to kill them? I mean, they've got no quality of life. They're just deformed. They're laying in a hospital, a product of incest. He said, no, now that they're here, you got to take care of them. I said, okay, that's the thing. It's a life. And who's to make the decision as to whether the quality of life is sufficient or not? And anyway, that's why we just have to protect and preserve life in its weakest, most vulnerable forms. That shows our attitude towards life. It's not just the survival of the fittest and the superior race. And we make it. You say, well, that's an extreme. Well, it's the logical outlet of that thinking. Then the inevitable question comes up about rape. The inevitable question comes up about rape. Well, okay, it's a terrible question. I'm not a woman. I can't imagine the trauma of it, the terror of it, and then the brutality, the sense of violation. And then you find out you're pregnant with someone else's child inside of you, the product of a violent assault on your personhood. And now you have to carry that child and bring it to birth. Maybe I have to care for it because somebody has a religious view that you can't have an abortion. I know that sounds cruel. I understand that. Nonetheless, it's still a life. First, it's less than 1% of all abortions, so it should not be the issue we major on. But number two, it's still a life. And once we make a decision that that life can be taken, then we have violated issues of life. That's why those who are consistently pro-life say, even in the tragic case of rape and incest, we don't abort. We do our best to stand with the people involved, believe that God can help bring everything in a redemptive way. What was meant for evil can be used for good, and that child can be of value to someone for sure, even if not the mother. Jane in Boston, thanks for hanging on into the second hour. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you. How are you?
You're welcome.
I heard a lot of calls for people who are giving scenarios and defending abortion for women who have been raped as one of the scenarios. Well, I'm calling because I am a woman who was raped and got pregnant. I did end up having an abortion, and to be honest with you, it's one of my biggest regrets.
All right, Jane, how old were you when this happened?
I was about 22.
And when you found out you were pregnant, how did that affect you?
I was devastated. I found out I was pregnant accidentally. I was going back to school in the medical field, and one of the requirements was I had to get certain immunization shots, and of course they checked to see if you're pregnant. I remember telling the doctor there was no way I was pregnant because I had decided to dedicate myself back to God and remain abstinent, and then I got raped. And your first thought isn't that, oh, I'm pregnant, I got raped, I'm pregnant. So I didn't even know at all. So it was two blows, one to advancing my career, and one, now I have a child in me from someone who I despise, you know. But as I grew in the Lord, I learned to forgive him, and I also learned that, you know, God doesn't make any mistakes. I made the mistake by having the abortion and giving up one of God's creatures. Mm. Everything happens for a reason. And just the fact that I was dedicating my life back to God when that happened, I don't know if that could have been a gift that God was giving me, unfortunately, in the way it came. But it wasn't my job to decide to get rid of that gift. And I did. So all these people defending, well, what if the person got raped? It still isn't our choice. Because in the long run, when we do make that decision, it's us, the woman, who has to not only live with being raped, but live with the regret of aborting a child that you never know, they can never get back.
Mm. Jane, obviously you've said things there's no possible way I could possibly say because of what you've been through. And every woman listening to you has to take your words very, very seriously, and thank God that a victim of rape and pregnant through rape, then the mistake of abortion, it sounds like God's brought redemption and restoration in your life. What can you say about that? We've just got about a minute before the break, but what can you say to those who have been through trauma and see no way out? Is there light at the end of the tunnel with the Lord?
With the Lord, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. You know, the Bible calls us to put our complete faith and trust in him. And anyone who's out there who has been raped or is going through the decision right now to abort a child because of rape, you need to put your complete faith and trust in the Lord. There are resources out there, just as you shared with the show, your friend who has resources that would be able to help you. But to add one sin on top of somebody else's sin, it's you who suffers in the long run.
Yeah.
I have been redeemed. I do feel whole, but I still am fighting to forgive myself. I know the Lord has forgiven me, but the guilt that I live with on a daily basis is deeper than me just going through and learning how to cope with it and leaving it all in God's hands.
All right, Jane, listen, I want to pray with you because God really wants you to receive his forgiveness in a way that you can release yourself as well. So Father, I thank you for Jane. I thank you for her life. I thank you for her testimony. I thank you that you're the Redeemer. And I pray from this day forth, that she'd be able to see that if you, Almighty, perfectly holy God, have forgiven her, that she can forgive herself and that she needs to so that she can bring life and healing and help to others. Bless her, Father, in Jesus' name.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It has been quite a 90 minutes so far as we join all of you now listening on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for being part of the broadcast today, 866-34-TRUTH. On this day that we remember, mourn, grieve over the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, where abortion was, quote, legalized. I say, quote, legalized because it's obviously never right in God's eyes, but legalized abortion on demand, really, for any reason, at any time of the pregnancy, if you look at the full scope of the decision, to the loss of tens of millions of lives and much destruction in our culture. Because when you touch that, you touch every other area of life in a culture, whether you know it or not. We've had some important phone calls, some interesting interaction, some disagreement, an amazing call from Jane in Boston, who was a rape victim. Those of you just tuning in now, we just spoke with Jane, a rape victim. She had committed her life back to God, was going to be abstaining from sexual relations. She signaled, then she gets raped. Then she finds out she's pregnant. Then she aborts the baby and has ever since lived with guilt of that and felt she made a wrong decision. We prayed, of course, she'd be fully released of a sense of guilt where she wouldn't forgive herself. But these are obviously very, very sensitive, difficult issues. And I raised a question to some callers, as we are absolutely pro-life here. I raised a question to some callers and said, okay, if a baby should be aborted in the womb because it's a product of incest and maybe it's got a genetic defect and is terribly deformed. I mean, I can't imagine a parent having to deal with these things, a mother having to deal with these things. It's agony. But I said, okay, child's born. I said, you then kill the child? Well, no, they're already alive. So one gentleman, you want to hear the most absurd of all absurdities. One gentleman, and our number to get in the conversation, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. One gentleman wanted to tell me that my comparison was completely wrong, and, you know, about once a child's born versus in the womb. 5 or 6 weeks old. And we always say it's potential life in the womb. It's a realized life outside. It's a life just the same. Well, when he wouldn't let me respond to his point, I put him on hold and I asked him the question. Okay, please tell me if, please tell me. I'm so sorry. I know the issues are really serious, but I just look at the email he sent in. All right. In fact, I'm going to read it again so he can potentially hear it. He is demanding an on-the-air apology. I had a few seconds before break, and I said, I just want to ask you a question. If the child's like a week or two old, whatever age I said, terribly deformed, product of incest, they're going to die in a few months, should we give medical care or just kill them then? He goes, I won't answer that. And I said, okay. Took him off the air. We had a break anyway. I said, next time, please be more prepared. So he is. So God help him. I have multiple degrees, multiple masters, and a PhD. You do not deserve to be called doctor. You are like the people I was going to address on your WMCA show this afternoon. You are a false Christian. You have no right to preach to anyone, tell them what God or Jesus says, and then turn around and hang up on me because I refuse to answer your question. It was unacceptable, to say the least, and uncalled for. It should not be tolerated in the Christian community. I'm referring to the true Christian community, which seems to be getting smaller and smaller every day. I called WMCA, and I'm waiting for a return call from them. You owe me an apology on the air, since everyone heard you disconnect me and the chance to voice my opinion on what I really called for. You denied my freedom of speech, which you proclaim to uphold. This is what I'm going to say for now. You have time to do it before the show ends. David, when you call next time, sir, and I begin to respond to you, you have to stop talking. Got that? It's real simple, because it does not work on the radio when two people are talking at the same time. That's number one. Number two, we have a break and I ask a question, and you have no response to the question, then I'm going to put you on hold, sir. and then you're off the air. Break's done. No answer. If you've got an answer to my question, feel free to call, and I would love to talk to you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. By the way, I've got an important new article on townhall.com. Please read it. Gay rights still trumping freedom of speech, religion. That's townhall.com. Gay rights still trumping freedom of speech, religion. I posted it, of course, on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. I do want to give you an interesting update in the Jewish world, some things that are going on that I am involved with that I think you'd be interested to hear. But let's go back to the phones as we talk further about issues relating to abortion. And if you missed it, earlier this hour, and then we actually repeated it from the first hour, I interviewed David Banham, citiesforlife.org, cities4life.org. They had a major dinner, 800-plus people here Friday night, casting a vision, how to bring transformation through cities across America, helping people not get abortions, helping them either put the child up for adoption or care for that child up for the first couple of year of their lives. They're doing this comprehensively. Working with other ministries here in Charlotte, we know of, when I say we, I'm not the one doing it. I'm saying what these ministries are doing. Thankfully, we can participate in different ways, but what they're doing, they've seen over 1,200 babies saved, lives saved, that you can actually document here in the greater Charlotte, if you can imagine that, in the last 36 months alone. 866-34-TRUTH. Randy, and all right, Randy's gone. But Randy wanted to applaud what our guest was doing, David Benham, that I just interviewed of citiesforlife.org, a businessman who's gotten the burden to make a difference. And Randy wanted to say that he has to step up. Absolutely, no question about it. Mary in Jersey City, New Jersey, thanks for holding and welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thanks, cool. I first wanted to just say, I think Jane a very eloquent statement on the issue of abortion, and I very much admire the strength of her conviction. I do want to say, though, that I think that abortion is a very serious issue, and to the extent we politicize it, I think we do a disservice to the whole, to the mission, because this is not about Republican and Democrat. I mean, Republicans, so many Republican presidents have gone into power, you know, and they've campaigned on the issue of abortion, but nothing has changed. I mean, not one of them has ever changed the law to say that abortion is now illegal. I mean, they campaign on it because they know that that's what their electorate wants to hear. But then they get into power, and it's business as usual, and nothing has ever changed. So to the extent that we're going to vote against Obama or for Republicans because of the issue of abortion, I think we're not looking at the issues the way they should be, because the Republicans will get into power if they do, and nothing will change about the issues of abortion. Just as nothing changed in the previous several decades.
Right now, here's where I let me tell you where
Can I just finish another point that I wanted to make?
Okay, I want to make sure I interact with that, but go ahead.
Okay, another point I wanted to make is just that, you know, we, to the extent that we're looking at Republican at our Democratic parties to deal with the issue, I mean, we're sort of doing what Adam and Eve did, which is blaming each other and blaming. You know, I think that Christians have just as much, or at least professing Christians, have just as many abortions as anyone else. They live with their boyfriends just as anyone else. And you know, Christian parents are looking at schools that are putting, you know, condoms and whatever else in front of their children and doing nothing about it. I mean, if kids having sexual intercourse is under the age of 16 is illegal as it is in most states.
Right. So why are you being complicit? Way. Yeah, absolutely. So let me just jump in though and say two important things. I 100% agree with you, and I've said it throughout the broadcast, that the reason that we have abortions taking place and tens of millions of babies lost here in America is because of the failure of the church. There's no question about it. Ronald Reagan was a strong pro-life president for 8 years, and basically there was little or no change in the abortion rate. It was like 1.5 million a year at the beginning of his presidency and at the end, somewhere around there. And if we're looking to the White House to do it, you're 100% right. We're looking in the wrong direction. The only reason that we have legalized abortion here in America is because the church let it be. By saying let it be, I don't mean that we're supposed to take over the government and force everyone to listen to us. I mean, if we were spreading life in front of the abortion clinics, if we were raising our voice as witnesses, if we were praying and fasting and doing what's right, it wouldn't be here. That's one thing. Here's the other. It's not either or. I cannot in conscience vote for a pro-abortion president. When I see our president saying today that the 39th anniversary of Roe v. Wade is the chance to recognize the fundamental constitutional right to abortion and to continue our efforts to ensure that our daughters have the same rights, freedoms, and opportunities as our sons to fulfill their dreams, I cannot, Mary, vote for that. I cannot vote for in conscience before God. And if someone was sending another message to the nation and working with us, and then the right people appointed in the Supreme Court, we could have seen abortion ended already. So Mary, my point is simply this. It's both and. I put the tremendous emphasis on what we do as God's people. However, it is not either or. It is not either or. That's where I differ. And in conscience, if it was in the days of slavery, and one guy was going to be great on the economy and great on these other issues, but he was pro-slavery, I couldn't vote for him. In conscience before God, I couldn't vote for that person. So that's where I draw the line. And to me, a Christian that says, I know this person's pro-abortion, we're going to vote for him anyway, that person has done the wrong thing. That's my personal deep conviction. But thank you, Mary, for weighing in. I want to put the emphasis on agreement with you. The larger societal issues, the degree of immorality, the loss of standards, and on, it's a pervasive issue. Thank you, Mary, and God bless you. Cheryl in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Well, I guess either it's a bad connection or you are not there. We will stay in Atlanta. Shirley in Atlanta, thanks for calling.
I am here.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the young lady who thinks somehow God allowed this terrible thing to happen to her, this is what she said. I want to say to her, Isaiah 54 says, your enemies shall surely gather against you, but not by me, says the Lord. Because if she has any thought that God was involved in her being raped, she can't worship him.
Yeah, Shirley, I think you make a very important point, and there is a real devil who wants to kill and destroy, and even though technically God allows things to happen.
Technically, right, God does not allow evil at all.
Let me just explain something to be clear. Okay, right now I've got a bottle cap from my bottle of water. I just dropped it. God allowed it to drop. And in other words, he does not.
There's something called gravity.
Right. But he did not stop it from happening. I want
to
make my point. Okay.
Shirley, let
me make my point. He's also given free will. I want to agree with you. I'm trying to make a point of agreement, all right? And thank you for calling to make the point. There is a real devil. There are many things that happen, and what I was in the process of saying was even if, quote, technically God allows it, he doesn't approve it, he doesn't agree with it, he doesn't affirm it, it grieves him, he makes plain, I had nothing to do with this, I'm against it. I totally agree with you that when we attribute to God things that the devil does or human beings do, it can give us a wrong view of God. Now, other people take comfort in the fact that God would not allow anything to happen to them that wasn't his will, and they find comfort in that. I understand the mentality, but I am with you. There is a real devil. There are real enemies. God does not inspire a person to rape another person to teach the other person a lesson. So I'm in harmony with you on that. And whatever Jane has worked through, whatever can help her to, she's obviously a champion to have worked through this and to have recognized having an abortion because of rape would have been wrong. But perhaps if she has an even fuller view of God's goodness, that would help release her as well. So thank you, Shirley. I want to express harmony with what you're saying. And I know it's the law of gravity, but that's why we're saying technically. But thank you. Thank you. We're in harmony on the point you wanted to make. And thanks for caring enough for Jane to call in and share that. All right, Alan in Riverview, Florida, I want you to hang in there. We'll get to your call. I want to hear from you right on the other side of the break. By the way, I've really appreciated some articles that Dr. Keith Abloh has written. He's on Fox News and dealing with psychological and psychiatric issues. And then he's had some great articles where he's boldly taken on issues with gay activism or transgender activism and things like that. But he's got an article, people are reading it saying, is this a joke? But it wasn't meant to be. Newt Gingrich's three marriages mean he might make a strong president. Yikes. I mean, if some woman be drawn to him and he's already married and be that powerful and to want to commit adultery with him, maybe he'll be a strong leader. Yikes. Yeah, I'm holding the article in my hands. Boy, missed it on that one, sir. But then people discredit you for the other stuff now.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, the article by Dr. Keith Abloh, Newt Gingrich's three marriages mean he might make a strong president. Here's the logic. Three women have met Mr. Gingrich, been so moved by his emotional energy and intellect that they decided they wanted to spend the rest of their lives with him. Two of these women felt this way even though Mr. Gingrich was already married. One of them felt this way even though Mr. Gingrich was already married for the second time, was not exactly her equal in looks department, and had a wife, Marion, who wanted to make his life without her as painful as possible. Conclusion, when three women want to sign on for life with a man who is now running for president, I worry more about whether we'll be clamoring for a third Gingrich term, not whether we'll want to let him go after one. You got to be kidding. Dr. Abloh, you got to be kidding. You really got to be kidding on that one. So then let's find a real polygamous guy. I mean, maybe go to some parts of the world. There's a guy in India. He's got like dozens of wives. That's our man. That's our man. That's got to be the next president. And we'll make him king so he can have rulership for life. Yeah. Two women, Mr. Gingrich's first two wives, have sat down with him while he delivered to them incredibly painful truths that he no longer loved them as he did before, that he had fallen in love with other women, that he needed to follow his heart despite the great price he would pay financially and the risk he would be taking with his reputation. Conclusion, I can only hope Mr. Gingrich will be as direct and unsparing with the Congress, the American people, and our allies if this nation must now move with conviction and direction of its heart. Newt Gingrich is obviously no stranger to that. You're the wrong conclusion. You got deceit here. Things that are shameful to Newt Gingrich's legacy, that it only hurt him long-term, not help him. Yeah, God's a redeemer, and God can forgive, and people can lead well after these terrible personal decisions and failures. But there was deceit. That was not being forthright. That was deceit. Mr. Gingrich's daughters from his first marriage are among his most vigorous supporters. They obviously adore him and respect him and feel grateful for the kind of father he was. Oh, and perhaps if he didn't commit adultery at least twice and get divorced and remarried twice, perhaps they might even respect him more. It's not by virtue of these other decisions that they respect him. I'm rooting for Newt in many ways in terms of rooting. I mean, God knows who the best candidate is. My first choice would be Rick Santorum. My second choice would be Newt Gingrich. But God knows. I mean, that's just me talking as an informed believer, and that's it. My trust is in God, not the political system. But you know what bothers me most about this article, though, is it just makes it easy to attack Dr. Abloh and his other articles that I thought were so excellent. 866-34-TRUTH. Alan in Riverview, Florida, as we get back to the abortion issue. Thanks for joining us on the program.
First of all, thank you, Doctor, and my brother in Christ. I want to thank you for the time to be on the radio. I bring a unique perspective in that I'm a 55-year-old father of three daughters, the oldest of which is 21. Back when the eyes of the country and the world were on Florida regarding abortion, she was about 2 years old, and I led a group from First Baptist Orlando, a 10,000-member church at the time. I organized a group asking for 1 hour one Saturday a month to stand outside of clinics. And we would average six people out of 10,000 members. And I can't tell you how many babies' lives were saved. The media never changes. Satan never changes. They always portray the front line of the battle to be violent, which it's not.
Yeah.
99% of the time we were over there, it was very quiet, and there's sneaking ladies in the back of these places to have their abortions. And so many of them hurting would come and turn to us and say, can you help me? And we had a pregnancy center at the time, which would. But I wanted to impress upon you, you're right on the money. My Bible says not to look at the world. It says, if my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I'll heal their land. I'm so disappointed in my Catholic brothers and sisters, and especially, and I don't mean any racism by this, but 97% of the black culture in this country was for Obama. And these are Christian people, professing Christians, who voted for the most wicked president this country's ever seen when it comes to abortion.
And Alan,
to the left of Kennedy when it comes to abortion.
Let me say a couple of things. You know, I'm Jewish, a Jewish believer in Jesus, and the vast majority of Jews vote democratically as well for a host
Incredible.
Of reasons. And what we have to do, because the African-American community is a great victim of abortion, that's what grieves me so terribly, the amount of babies that are taken away. So I see that as a satanic assault against a community. And then the African-American community, compared to generally the white American community, tends to be more pro-family, interestingly, tends to be more into family and family events and then the socialization that comes through it. So there's a lot of things to unpack there together as we try to work together for life. But, you know, Anna, I want to say this. The whole way that pro-life people are portrayed, the whole way, like you say, the they're angry, they're violent. Look, the fact is, if that was the case, you'd be reading about it in the newspapers every day and there would have been a national uproar. When you have the horror of someone who claims to be pro-life killing an abortion doctor, and then you realize in 40 years now of Roe v. Wade, we're in the 40th year, how many times has that happened? You can normally count the events on one hand. Now, it's inexcusable, it's wrong, it's murder. But that is the testimony to the fact that these people are not violently inclined. How often do you hear of someone being beat up at an abortion clinic or assaulted at an abortion clinic by a pro-life person? It's the exact opposite. It's these faithful brothers and sisters who stood there.
Just to add to that, like I said, I bring a unique perspective because I was on the front lines for about 2 years leading folks to step out on our side. And it's amazing. The police officers who would be hired by the clinics would face us. And I'd walk up to them and I'd shake their hand every Saturday and say, how are you? By the way, who bought your gun? Who bought your uniform? I think I'm a taxpayer, so I kind of, bought everything that you're wearing. Why are you facing me? And after a while, they'd start standing sideways. And this is incredible, but never did one hired off-duty police officer show up twice to an abortion clinic in 2 years.
All right. Hey, Alan, I got to jump in because we got a break. But we've actually had locally here in the greater Charlotte area security guards resign from their jobs because they saw pro-life position. But, Alan, thank you for calling. And, look, friends, let us work together. Yeah, not a break. We got the end of the show. Sorry, I'm ready for more hours here. Let us work together, black and white, Catholic, Protestant, everyone who believes in life. Let us work together for life. There are certain areas that divide us. Let not this be one of the areas. Really important. Many of you still don't have a queer thing happen to America, and the issue of religious freedoms has never been bigger. Freedoms of speech, what's happening with gay activism. Please get the book. What we're done with postage, it's over $30, beautiful hardcover, but we're sending you a signed copy with my two-hour debate with Rabbi Shmuley about homosexuality. Postage paid together for $30, but call or order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, Let's not point fingers. The problem is not in the White House. The problem is not in the Congress. The problem is not even in the world. The problem is with us. We do right, it'll ripple through the whole society, and others will get it right too.